July 9th, 2020, Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. Ms. Burns, may we have roll call, please?
Yes, Ms. Russell.
Here.
Mr. Tui.
Here.
I am here. Ms. Carroll. Ms. Lowe.
Here.
Mr. McMahon.
Present.
Mr. Stanton.
Here.
Ms. Galway Jones.
Here.
We have eight. We have a quorum.
Thank you, Ms. Burns.
Tom.
Oh, Ms. Rushing.
Oh. Sorry, Joy. Ms. Rushing.
Here.
We have eight. We have a quorum.
Mr. Zenner, are there any modifications to the agenda?
No, there are not, ma'am.
I'll take a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Second by Mr. McMahon. Motion by Ms. Russell. I'll take a thumbs up. Looks unanimous. Everyone should have received a copy of the June 18th, 2020 meeting minutes. Were there any additions or edits, changes to those minutes?
Move to approve.
Second.
Move to approve by Mr. McMahon, second by Mr. Stanton. Take a thumbs up on that. Looks unanimous. Brings us to our first case for the evening, a subdivision case 112-20. A request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of SBSR2 Properties, LLC, for approval of a one-lot final plat to be known as McKee Place Plat Number 1. The subject site is located at the northwest corner of McKee Street and Clark Lane, contains approximately 1 acre, and is zoned RMF, Multifamily Dwelling District. May we have a staff report, please?
Just a moment, please. All right, as you said, this property is located in the northwest corner of Clark Lane and McKee Street. You've seen it before. It was rezoned a few months back. It is, or it will be, 0.74 acres. It's just a one-lot final plat. Public info cards were sent out on April 24th. 16 of those were sent. Here's an aerial of the property. Again, you see it's at the intersection. You can see from this that it's also just down a couple hundred yards from the Clark Lane, Ballinger Lane roundabout. You can see a bulk of single family to the north and west of this. There's also further north a little bit of multifamily. But if you remember, this was rezoned to RMF. They're proposing a small multifamily development here of one-bedroom apartments. I'll go on from there. So approval of the plat would grant legal lot status for the development purposes. As I said, they're planning to develop it with the multifamily apartment building. I guess it was more than a few months ago. I forgot. It was clear back in August when we rezoned it. I think we've had that. On the plat, they are providing additional right-of-way for Clark Lane. This image is a little misleading. It looks like larger area at the south end here from this, well, if I could go straight, from this point to here is dedicated as right-of-way. I believe much of it was already street easement or some other kind of arrangement, but they are dedicating it all as right-of-way at this point. To meet the minimum 60-foot half width for Clark Lane, which is a minor arterial, I believe, or a major collector, either one. But there's also right-of-way provided on McKee Street frontage to reach a 25-foot half width, and that varies from the north end of the lot there to the south. Pedestrian easements are also being provided. For some reason or another, the sidewalk is not going to be able to be accommodated within the right-of-way. So you'll see on the east side here, there's a small piece of pedestrian right-of-way that tapers as it goes around the corner. That is for sidewalk again. And then to accommodate existing utilities, the sidewalk again has to enter on the private property on in this little section. That's an additional sidewalk easement there. That is really the bulk of it. Our recommendation would be for approval of McKee Place Plat 1.
Thank you. Before we move to questions of staff, I would like to ask any commissioner who has had any ex parte prior to this meeting related to this case to please disclose that now so all commissioners have the same information to consider on behalf of the case in front of us. Seeing none, are there any questions? Oops, Mr. McMahon. Oh, you were waiting for me to finish. Or you do have
I was waiting
for
you
staff.
To finish the
yes.
The ex parte.
Finished with ex parte.
And if you're done, I will continue on.
Mr.
Ask
McMahon,
questions.
Thank
question
you. Question for staff.
Thank you. Yes, I do. Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Palmer, we didn't get much, but we got some community feedback when this was rezoned. Did you get anything on this?
No, I did not.
Okay. We sent out all the standard stuff and you didn't seem to know, shifting gears a little bit, you didn't seem to know why the sidewalk was moved. Do we know why the sidewalk was moved?
I believe it's because the road, the edge of the pavement is already close to the edge of the right-of-way there.
The existing right-of-way?
Correct.
Okay. So there's just so much room.
And then on the south side, it's because there's an existing pad-mounted transformer or some electrical equipment that's mounted basically adjacent to the property line, and so they have to build the sidewalk around it.
Yeah, those are just points of information. Thank you yep. for your information.
Any additional questions for staff? If not, we will open the floor for public comment. If there's anyone that would like to make public comment on behalf of this case. Seeing none, we will close public comment. Commission discussion. Mr. McMahon, then Mr. Stanton.
I do not wish to trample on anyone. I got a couple looks like some people are going to move to approve here. if people have questions or want to discuss something, that's totally fine to be with me. Otherwise, I was going to move to approve this final plat. Mr. Stanton?
Second by Mr. Stanton. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, Ms. Burns, may we have roll call, please?
Yes. Ms. Russell?
Yes.
Mr. Tuohy?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Ms. Lowe?
Yes.
Mr. McMahon?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Stanton?
Yes.
Ms. Galway-Jones?
Yes.
Ms. Rushing?
Yes.
8-0 motion carries.
Recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council. That brings us to public hearings.
Ms. Lowe, if I may.
Yes.
I failed to adequately indicate that, yes, there was a change to the agenda, and I apologize for not stating that at the appropriate time. The item you were about to introduce has been requested to be tabled. That request was received late this afternoon due to a positive COVID test in the engineering firm's offices, resulting in an exposure to the entire staff. You do have that request for tabling in front of you. While that request has been made, we do have individuals of the public here. It is appropriate to allow those individuals to speak. If they are here for this particular case. Otherwise, we would retain our staff report until the requested table 2 date, which is August 8th.
Are there any public here who are here to speak on case 127-20, which is regarding Godfrey PD plan? So in this case, should we open?
Why don't you go ahead and do your regular opening of the public hearing by reading the case. Let's ask for ex parte communication at this point. And if you would like a staff report, we will be more than happy to provide that for you for purposes of context. Once the staff report is completed, if you would like to follow your regular procedure of asking questions of staff, allow public input, and then if you'd like to close the hearing and table it to the date certain to allow the applicant and others that may be wanting to speak in regards to this, that would be appropriate.
Okay, so just for clarification, do you have the public or the staff report tonight?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Staff report is ready to go.
All right. So we're going to move into case. We have the tabling request, but we do have public here for the case, and we do want to capture their comments. So we're going to move into case 127-20, which is a request by a civil group on behalf of West Rock 2 LLC for approval of a rezoning and development plan to be known as the Godfrey PD plan. The applicant is proposing a four-unit apartment buildings for a total of 16 units with vehicular access onto Green Meadows Road. Their 1.45-acre property is located at the northeast corner of the intersection of Green Meadows Drive and Green Meadows Circle. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. So as you said, this is a 1.45-acre property. It's located on the northwest corner of Green Meadows Road and Green Meadows Circle. The request would be to rezone from R1 to PD and also the subsequent approval of the PD plan. Public notice was sent. Due to COVID, we did advanced public info postcards as opposed to public info meetings. There were 13 of those postcards sent. It was also advertised in the Tribune on the 23rd of June, and property letters were sent to those same 13 recipients. Here's an aerial. Probably know the area. Rockbridge Christian Church over time has kind of parceled out their property. Fire station on the west end, assisted living facility, or kind of a group home scenario immediately next to the church. And then this last piece is what's left and is being proposed to be developed. The plan includes four multifamily structures, each with 16 total units. They are two-bedroom units. They each have a one-car garage plus 18 additional spaces. And I should clarify up front about the parking. There was an error in my staff report. Basically, I counted spaces that we don't normally count in a multifamily arrangement. They are the spaces in the driveway. We call them tandem spaces. So there are a couple of mentions to the plan being overparked by 15 spaces. That's actually inaccurate. It's overparked right now by one space. So I apologize for that error, but in effect, they do still have the same amount of paving as if they were overparked. So go on from there. So just some background information that we find kind of important here. In November 2019, we held a concept meeting on this property where we discussed 14 single-family attached units. At that time, staff believed that, yes, a plan district was appropriate in this on this property because of its unique location. It has a visually prominent location on that Green Meadows corridor, of course. There's limited access. Forget the arrangement now, but it was limited to access off of Green Meadows Circle unless it was multifamily. So that plays into this a little bit. The shape of the lot kind of constrains development in a lot of ways, and also the proximity to residential neighborhoods and heavily trafficked intersections provides kind of a hurdle to jump when it comes to the access issues and also the density. So we are hoping for some creative solutions to those, and the PD would permit that. We discussed project density at that time, and staff believed that 12 units was probably the cap that should be allowed on the property, which comes out to between 8 and 9 units per acre, which is fairly similar to neighboring properties, but it's also kind of a transitional density between some more multifamily type arrangements on the east, or to the east of this, and then also single family to the north and west. So it was kind of that exchange from commercial on the Providence corridor to multifamily to something between multifamily and single family, and then onto the existing single family to the north and west again. So back to this current development plan, it depicts setbacks which are shown on the Rockbridge Christian Church plat 2. So they wanted to honor those setbacks, but as it turns out, because they've switched this to multifamily, they sought access onto Green Meadows Road, and therefore the setbacks are in effect backwards. They have a 25-foot setback on Green Meadows Circle, 15 on Green Meadows Road, and 20 on the western property, which was being offered as a buffer between the multifamily development and Rockbridge Christian Church. Staff believes that the setbacks are inconsistent with the proposed development. They're based on R1 zoning. The 15-foot setback on Green Meadows Road is particularly important here because it creates an issue with spacing and also visual prominence. Obviously, the multifamily structures can be imposing in size, and especially when they're roughly 18 feet off of the edge of pavement for Green Meadows, they would create a bit of a visual impact, I guess I should say. The other aspect that we considered here, too, was that the other multifamily or kind of condos to the southeast are all screened from the roadway via vegetative buffers and berming, and this project does not propose any of that. So it's a little out of character with what exists out there today. So the setbacks are a modifiable element of plan districts, so therefore the plan can be arranged the way they have it with the setbacks honoring the Rockbridge Christian Church plat 2. It would just be a consideration that you will basically vote on with the approval of the plan. So if you approve the plan, you approve the setbacks. Again, access here is proposed from Green Meadows Road. It's permitted because it's multifamily, so the previous arrangement is null. Staff does support the arrangement facing Green Meadows Road because it limits traffic impacts on Green Meadows Circle, which is effectively the entrance to at least two kind of secluded single-family neighborhoods. And also further back, it accesses a number of other homes beyond that. So, another aspect is a design exception for the building's front entrance away from the street. Section 29-4.7F states that all buildings should be or should have an operational entrance facing the street from which they're addressed. The building to the east, if you can see in the plan there, actually faces to the west, which is away from both major roadways. And they don't currently have a doorway facing either of those streets. So staff believes that approval of the design exception would diminish the aesthetic quality that could be reached by having a front entrance facing that street, and also it diminishes the sense of arrival, and it's counter to the provisions of the comprehensive plan. So staff views the requested exception as evidence that the proposed development exceeds the capacity of the property. Basically, it's hard to tell from this, but given the setbacks and the size of the building, it's actually pretty difficult to fit a building in there facing to the south or oriented to the south. So the other option would be to orient it to the west, and the applicant has indicated that they'd prefer not to do that because of additional sidewalk construction and ADA accessibility and other aspects. So it'd be difficult to reach ADA accessibility if they have to traverse around the building. So staff does agree, in conclusion, that the plan district zoning is appropriate. As I said, there are a number of issues here that straight zoning just doesn't permit an easy answer for, and the plan district should allow for those creative responses to those issues. Proposed development is maximizing density without design innovation, open space, or amenities, which are all core purposes of the plan district. Setbacks, again, should be reestablished to fit the building arrangement. I believe that a larger setback on Green Meadows Road would be greatly beneficial. So also the 2019 concept plan that I showed you is actually much more appropriate in this location. It better supports the goals and objectives of the comp plan, and it is exactly what we talk about when we say we want creative answers for those site issues. So our recommendation would actually be for denial of the Godfrey PD plan and also the associated design exception, which is kind of implied. But be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Before we move on to staff questions, I would like to ask any commissioner who has had any ex parte prior to this meeting related to this case to please disclose that now so all commissioners have the same information to consider on behalf of this case in front of us. I see none. Are there any questions for staff? Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Clarification, Mr. Palmer. I think I followed what you wrote rather than what you said. How many bedrooms? 16 times two?
Correct.
Okay. You said four units with 16 each, which implied more. So we have
not what I meant.
32. We have 32 bedrooms.
Yeah,
here.
It's four buildings with four units each and two bedrooms
right,
each.
That's what I thought. The second question is as follows. There have been things proposed here in the past which have received a fair amount of pushback. I'm a little surprised there's no traffic study here because this is a long expressed concern, but we have no traffic study. Is that correct?
That's correct. I'm not a traffic engineer, but they did review it, and I'm assuming it did not reach the 100 daily trips at peak hour that's required for a traffic study.
Maybe just under, but we'll debate that another time. Thank you, Planner Palmer. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any additional questions for staff? Mr. Palmer, I had a question. You mentioned that the applicant was not interested in west-facing entrances because it would be more difficult to construct accessible entrances?
That was from a conversation I had with them, yes, but I would allow them to expand on it. They're here to comment if that's
all right. Because one of my observations was that I don't see an internal sidewalk system, and I don't see an internal accessible route connecting the accessible parking to the entrances or to the dumpster area or to the public sidewalks. So I'm a little bit concerned this doesn't meet Fair Housing Act requirements.
Okay. Said I would let them expand on that. But
any additional questions? Seeing none?
Yeah, hi.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Ms. Galway-Jones?
I'm sorry. I didn't want to pull out my laptop. Could you remind me what it's currently zoned for?
Yeah, it's R1, so single family.
Okay. And it's a 1.45 acre lot?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Any additional questions? Seeing none, we'll open up the floor to public comment. If you have any public comments to share on this case, please come forward and give your name and address for the record. We do keep comments to 3 minutes. 6 minutes if you're speaking for a group or neighborhood association.
Thank you. It's Bill Tackett, 1311 Westview Terrace, Columbia, Missouri, here on my own. I got to tell you, I was a prosecutor for 20 years. I've never been in a more pleasant, non-controversial place in my life. This is unreal. I hate to be the one that kind of breaks the egg on this. So what you've got with 2 minutes and 45 seconds is a piece of property that if you come up onto it on Green Meadows, it splits into Green Meadows and Green Meadows Circle, as you can see. The traffic here splits to go around because it's so heavy. So where you have them driving out really doesn't matter. It has to do with the mirror volume. And what you all know, because you live in Columbia, is that when you go south of Stadium, what artery do you have going east and west before this one? You don't. This is it, all right, unless you want to go on down and get into the morass that is Nifong Road. So, well, you know, for property development, it's fine, but this particular piece is a bad idea, and I don't know why there wasn't a traffic study, but if you go out there, you don't need a study. Just pull up there at 5 o'clock, you'll see the problem. And the aesthetic portion of it's kind of like this particular piece of property is the last one available, and it's just hitting at the wrong time. It's just the aesthetics of it would be just a disaster. The traffic is terrible. And if you had other arteries, I wouldn't have shown up tonight. I was in my suit. I wish I'd have kept it on, being in court, because I feel like I'm underdressed. But, you know, I wouldn't be here if this weren't something that really needs to be studied really hard because of what you're going to put people through driving through there. Have I exhausted my time? You can tell I give closing arguments. I haven't. Okay. So it's the aesthetic portion of it. It's the part where no matter where you put the driveways, pulling on and off, and you can make the argument that there's only 32 bedrooms, all right, but go out there at 5 o'clock and throw this on top of it. And that general area has been so heavily developed on that particular artery that, you know, I'm in Lake Woodrail and none of them are here. But if they were, they would tell you the same thing. It's just difficult to get people to come out and come to a hearing like this. So are there any questions from anybody?
Any questions for the speaker? I see none at this time. Thank you, Mr. Taggart.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Any other speakers' comments on this case? I see none. We did receive several emailed comments on this, so people have been writing in. If no one else is here to speak, that closes public comments.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, those comments that you just referenced, as well as the correction to the staff report that Mr. Palmer noted, will be incorporated into the continued case, which, if that is your choice. Again, the applicant has requested a tabling to August 8th, or 6th, I apologize, August 6th. And the hearing would pick up. We would again give this same staff report in order to allow the applicant an opportunity to respond to particular commission questions and to refute findings in the staff report.
So our options at this point are to move to table?
It would probably be advised that it would be moved to table, or which would continue the public hearing, given the fact that that is the customary action generally that the commission affords to applicants seeking to have items tabled. We want to play fair across the board with all of our applicants. Given the fact that we had public attending this evening on an advertised item, we advised to open the hearing.
Thank you. Mr. McMahon.
Before we get to a motion, I have a question for staff, and this might be a question for legal also. These are extraordinary times. And Mr. Gephardt's firm, regardless of where we come down on what he's doing on this particular development, Mr. Gephardt's firm has been hit by COVID. I would like to move that this tabling does not count as one of the tablings against him. Is that problematic? I don't think that. I was kind of glancing around trying to find them, and I figured legal might be able to answer this very question. And I don't know the answer to those questions either. That certainly is something that we have not experienced before, but we need to keep in mind, because there may be things due to the pandemic that are out of everyone's control. And he gets two?
It's two, with the commission having the option to do extended, as long as they're not over.
I would like that to keep us in mind, that if Mr. Gephardt's firm or anyone else is in this situation, it would probably behoove fair play and due process that we don't count COVID against anyone. All right, I just want to get that out before we moved on. Thank you.
As a point of clarification, is a civil group the only agent that can represent the case at this hearing?
If you're asking if the applicant, who is Bedrock, would be capable of representing themselves, yes. It does not require a civil to represent. There is no requirement, such as an attorney or a licensed professional engineer, to represent the request. So if by the requested tabling date a civil is unavailable to attend, I would imagine they would be making arrangements to have somebody here.
Thank you.
I was referring, Jack, to the actual owner.
Yes.
Representing himself.
Correct.
Not having to have the applicant. But if he is, if the owner would choose to not have a civil, yes, we would require a property owner authorization form to be submitted, designating another agent, which the property owner has submitted, and that designation was for a civil to represent them. So if they do need to get a different agent to represent them, aside from themselves, we would need to have a new form.
Mr. McMahon?
Just another point there. That all sounds fine and fantastic. I wouldn't want anyone to accrue an additional financial burden because they've got one strike against them. I mean, someone want to keep that in mind. If the owner is unable or unwilling to represent themselves and a civil is not at play, we're asking them to spend more money. And I'm not saying this is good or bad. I'm just saying we need to keep some of this stuff in mind as we go forward, because we very well could have this situation again. So I don't need an action on that. I just wanted to bring that out. Thanks.
Any additional comments? Ms. Russell.
How about a motion? I move to table case 127-2020, the Godfrey PD plan, to the August 6th Planning and Zoning Commission meeting.
Second.
Second by Mr. McMahon. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, Ms. Burns, may we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Ms. Russell.
Yes.
Mr. Tuohy.
Yes.
My vote is yes. Ms. Lowe.
Yes.
Mr. McMahon.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Stanton.
Yes.
Ms. Galway-Jones.
Yes.
Ms. Rushing.
Yes.
8-0, motion carries.
Thank you. Recommendation for tabling shall be forwarded to City Council. That brings us to public comments. Any additional public comments? Seeing none, staff comments.
Well, you have a meeting coming up, and it is on August 6th, because we do not have any case items for your July 23rd meeting. Our two items that were originally scheduled for that date have actually been shifted. They had a couple of issues that needed to be resolved and needed some more time, so they were two subdivision related items, and they'll be brought forward at the August 6th agenda, which frees up our July 23rd regular time slot for, as we discussed during work session, some additional work session time together to continue to work on our comprehensive plan survey information. We would like to go ahead and have a scheduled work session from 5:30 p.m. on the 23rd of January or July until 7:30 p.m. on that evening, a half an hour extra than what we would normally have. And we believe that 2 hours would be enough time for us to be able to deal with some of the issues that we discussed this evening. Your items, however, that you would have on the August 6th agenda, if you can advance for me, we have a number. Now we will have six. You'll see them here. We've got case 135. That is the Boone Electric campus up off of Rangeline Street. We are looking at final platting of the actual campus of the property, and there will be a design adjustment associated with that. 136, which is 1705 Ballinger. This is a preliminary plat that Mr. Palmore will be handling. That's Victory Christian Church. That is actually Mr. Smith's project. We have had that in the house before, but it was for a sidewalk waiver and was for the entire acreage. This particular plat is proposing three lots on a preliminary, and then a single lot final plat would follow and be presented directly to City Council. Your third item is 142. That is a rezoning request off of East Texas Avenue, if you're familiar with where the old Sticky Buns restaurant used to be, or Enterprise Rent-A-Car, the Red Roof Inn. This is property immediately to the west of that, requesting to be rezoned from R1 and R2 to office. 143 at 4000 Barbary. This is annexation, a permanent zoning associated with an annexation request. County RS, which is equivalent to our R1 for single-family residential lot development at the backside of an existing single-family subdivision that's already in the city. And then 144, which is One Pfeiffer Place, which is right at the northwest corner of Pfeiffer and East Broadway. And this is a replat of two lots into a single lot. And if we can go to the next set of slides, just so we all can figure out where I was just talking about. You have got your property here for Boone Electric, our property for Victory Christian Church, and then our newer items here off of our other streets, Barbary on our right, and then our last item that we had is here for Pfeiffer. We will add to this list, of course, then the item here this evening that was tabled, the Godfrey PD, as the first item on the August 6th agenda as a result of it being tabled. So with that is all we have to offer for this evening. We do thank you for your comments tonight during work session and for our ability to get a better understanding of what we're shooting for here in the way of the survey instrument, and we'll hopefully be bringing back to you on the 23rd. A version that will hopefully better address the options that we have in front of us as we move forward to engage the public with the report card on our comprehensive plan. With that, that's all I have to offer.
Thank you, Mr. Zenner. Commissioner comments. Mr. Stanton.
I just want to keep current events on everybody's mind. During protest and recent events with policing and all of that stuff, I just wanted to remind my commission and people involved in real estate and planning and zoning that we're part of the solution, and we should do our part in helping educate some of the community, especially the younger people that are out there protesting, on how spatial environment affects their lives. I had an opportunity of somebody showing me how real estate works and how it could change your life, how it could build wealth. A lot of people don't have that opportunity, so if you have an opportunity to kind of share your knowledge about that, that'd be a great idea. Definitely encourage people to vote. And also keep in mind that where you live affects how you're policed. Have to address both sides of those issues, the policing and the living. So just to keep this on everybody's mind. I plan to do this every meeting, so be prepared until we start having solutions. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Stanton. Any additional comments? Ms. Russell?
I move to adjourn.
Second.
Second by Mr. Stanton. We're adjourned.